Her circumstances were horrific. They were terrible indeed. She had been suffering from hemorrhages, issues of blood, for 12 long, gruesome years. They had been difficult years, years in which she had gone to doctors trying to find something that would heal her, some procedure, some medication, something that would stop the hemorrhaging, the blood, the pain, the cramps, the illness, day after day, night after night, continually fighting these hemorrhagings, this bleeding process. It was a terrible situation in her era, in her time, and her place, because in Judaism in that time, anytime you had blood coming out of you for any reason at all, you were unclean. You were spiritually unclean. That meant if you had a hemorrhage of blood, you could not go around other people. You had to stay away from them. Or you would make them unclean, too. You would make them ritually unclean. It's like spiritual radioactivity. If you are unclean due to an issue of blood, and you go up and touch somebody else, even if you don't get any blood on them, you have made them ritually unclean. So she had to stay away from people. She had to ostracize herself and keep herself away from others for fear of infecting them, for fear of harming them, for fear of making them spiritually unclean. She'd been struggling with this hemorrhage for 12 years and it had broken her physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually. And then she heard about Jesus. Then she heard about this rabbi from Nazareth who came preaching a good news about the love of God, who came preaching the good news of the love and presence of God, the love and healing touch of God. Indeed, he had been going from town in town doing good, reaching out and healing the blind and transforming the lepers and bringing people who had been pushed away from society back into the fold of society. He had been going around doing good for others. He'd been going around teaching the love of God and showing it by feeding the hungry and by giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and yes, indeed, healing terrible diseases. And she thought, maybe, just maybe, this might be her answer. Maybe, just maybe, yes, indeed, this is the answer. But how can I do this? How can I go and be healed by Jesus? I have an issue of blood. I'm hemorrhaging. If I go and see this Jesus, then I'll make him unclean. And he's a rabbi. He's a man of God. He's close to the high holy one. I can't make him unclean. So maybe if I follow along and get up near him, and across the street from where he is, if I call out, Jesus, Jesus, I'm sick, I'm ill, please heal me. I have an issue of blood, I'm hemorrhaging, please heal me. He'll heal me from across the street, and he'll be nice and safe, and I'll get healed. And no, she thought to herself, that won't work. The instant I start telling Jesus what my illness is, about the issue of blood, everybody around me will be afraid that they have been made unclean, and they'll have the other women push me away and push me out of town, and they'll take up sticks and rocks and threaten me to get me out of town. No, maybe not that. Maybe if I follow Jesus and come up behind him, maybe if I follow Jesus and come up behind him where he can't see and where nobody else can see, I can follow him in the crowd, and as he's going along, I can sneak up behind him and reach out and touch the hem of his cloak. And no one will see or know. And my skin won't touch his skin, so he won't be unclean. And if I touch the hem of his cloak, then I'll become clean. I'll become healed. I'll become well. These hemorrhages will stop. And so, She works her way into the crowd of people. She's hidden so that no one can see or know that it's her. And she works her way through the crowd into the street and sees Jesus ahead of her, people gathered around, reaching out to him. And she's coming up behind, working her way through until she gets close enough to reach out her hand and touch his cloak, touch his garment hem, touch the threads, the material off his robe. And reaching out and touching, she puts into motion one of the best illustrations of faith that you can find throughout the entire New Testament. For she had this belief that if she just came and touched his garment hem, she'd be healed. She had this belief that all she had to do was reach out and touch this garment hem of Jesus and she'd be healed. And then she took that belief and put it into action. She moved through the crowd. She reached out her hand and she touched. And the scripture says, immediately, she felt herself become healed. She felt the disease leave her. She was healed. In the instant that she touched his garment, she was healed. And then it says, immediately also, Jesus knew and felt power flow out from him. And he stopped and looked around and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now the disciples thought that was insane. I mean, there's all these people gathered around. People have been touching him all along the way. They've been reaching out to touch the rabbi from Nazareth. They've been reaching out to touch this Jesus. How could he possibly say, "Who touched me?" in this morass of all these people touching him? But Jesus knew that there had been, amongst all the other touches, a special touch. A touch that was backed by faith. A touch that had a need in it. And as the scripture says, a touch that resulted in the flow of power from him to her. That word power in Greek is interesting. The Greek word is dunamis. We get the word dynamite from the word dunamis. And it means power. It means strength. It means authority. It means force. I like the word authority here. Authority flew from Jesus into her. Authority, power, strength, force flowed from Jesus through her touch into her. And Jesus knew it. "Who touched me?" he said. And she knew she was caught. She thought she'd gotten away with it. No one knew but she. And then Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And that's it. And so she comes to him and she throws herself at his feet and says, "I was sick. I had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. But I thought if only I could touch your garment hem, I'd be made well. And I was." And Jesus looks at her and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go and be healed of your disease." And the better translation there would be, "Go and be delivered from your whippings, from the torment, from the torture that you've been going through for 12 long years. Go and be delivered from this torturous situation that has separated you from your family and your friends, your loved ones, and this community." This touch of faith on the part of the woman with the hemorrhage is probably the most blatant illustration of the true nature of faith to be found in the New Testament. Not just belief, not passive belief. She didn't sit back there at home hemorrhaging and say to herself, okay, I believe that Jesus can and will heal me, so bango, I'm healed. No. It wasn't just a passive belief that she could be healed. She then took that belief that Jesus could heal her and put it into action and went to see Jesus and reached out and touched Jesus. His cloak, his clothes. She took her belief that she could be healed and put it into action. She took her faith, her belief, that she could be healed and made it active. And when she made it active and she went to him and she came up behind him and she touched his garment hem, in that instant, she was healed. When she touched Jesus, in a true sense, Jesus touched her and healed her. And it didn't take a while. As I said, those words about temporality here are important. They're both in two places at two times in adjoining verses. Verse 29 and 30, it says, immediately, suddenly, instantaneously, without delay, she was healed, and immediately, suddenly, instantaneously, without delay, Jesus knew that the power had flown from him to her and that she had been healed. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this act of faith points to what we should be doing. This act of faith points to how we should be living. This act of faith points to how we should be acting out our belief. Are you in need of a healing touch? Are you in need of the real presence of Jesus in your life? Are you so afraid of making other people dirty, spiritually unclean, that you're afraid of coming to church, or you're afraid of reading scripture, or you're afraid of participating in Sunday school, or you're afraid of participating in fellowship, or you're afraid of coming to the table of the Lord? I have had people tell me, praise God, not in this church, but I've had people tell me that they don't feel as though they can approach Holy Communion because they feel so dirty inside. And I've said to them, my sister, my brother, this sacrament, the Eucharist, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, is the spiritual cleansing point that each and every one of us needs to be made clean, to be made whole, to be made pure, to be healed, transformed, and given a new life. She, that woman with the hemorrhage, reached out across the barrier that her society had created and touched Jesus' cloak. And in that act of faith, she was healed. And today, at the table of the Lord, we have an opportunity yet again to reach out our hands in faith, to come forward and to kneel and to reach out our hands in faith and receive the touch of the Master, to reach out our hands in faith and touch Jesus again. And the table of the Lord, I love it that we as Methodists, like many other Christians, don't receive communion in the pews, in the chairs, in the rows there. That we get up and physically come forward, if you're capable, physically come forward to receive. We have to act to receive. Now, we receive passively, But we must act to receive to begin with by offering ourselves to receive. And then we receive the bread. And then we receive the cup. And we eat and we drink. Active motions of faith. And when we eat and when we drink in faith, this action based upon belief brings into us anew and afresh the real presence of Jesus, the touch of the Master's hand, which brings power, authority, strength, force, the presence of God back into us. My sisters and brothers, today you have an opportunity to reach out your hand and touch Jesus' cloak. Reach out your hand and touch His garment by coming forward, placing out your hands, and receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion. The cloak He was wearing, the robe He was wearing, it wasn't anything special. It was just a tunic. The bread and the cup, the bread and the wine of the Eucharist, it's simply bread and wine. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the presence of God, by the consecrating grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, just as when she touched the garment hem and Jesus right there in her midst moved into her to transform and cleanse and heal her and save her, so also when we come forward and receive these elements, Jesus comes into us. They become a conduit through which the real presence of Jesus comes to reside in our hearts. If only we will eat and drink with faith. So come today with your hemorrhage, with your pain, with your separation, with your fear, with your sense of inadequacy, with your sin, with your terror, with your sense of exclusion. Bring to Jesus whatever it is that separates you from your neighbor and you from God. Bring to Jesus whatever it is that is breaking the relationships between your neighbor and between you and God. Bring it to the table. And when you reach out to touch Jesus, let Him take it away from you. And let His power, let His grace, let His strength, let His authority flow into your life and so transform you that when you stand to walk again, you can walk like that woman with the hemorrhage did. Healed. Transformed. And re-welcomed back into the family of God. Come to the table of the Lord. Reach out your hands and touch Jesus again. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us join together in our bulletins in praying the prayer of confession of sin. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ. The table of the Lord is ready. It is open to all who feel called to come and reach out your hand and touch the Master. Come to the table of the Lord.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.
Today is the first Sunday of July, which also means this is my first anniversary here with you as your pastor. It is indeed amazing that it has been a whole year that I have been with you. They say if it's a terrible time, it goes very slowly, and if it's a wonderful time, it goes very quickly. Well, my friend, it's gone very fast indeed. Amen. And I'm looking forward to this next year with you. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to continue to do what we've been doing, and praising the Lord our God all the way through. So God bless you all. Thank you very much.